Robotics have advanced to a place where walking machines may soon be sent into emergency response situations too dangerous for people. This reality is made possible only through a long battery life and mechanical systems that don't eat up all the battery's energy stores. Steve Berger is a project lead in the Intelligent Systems Control Department at Sandia National Labs. He explains what they're working on.
We're finding increasingly that no matter how capable robots are, if they can't execute missions for a long period of time, they're not that useful in the real world. So we're really trying to work that problem and improve it.
Well, how has NASA been able to do that with vehicles that run on Mars for a long time, years sometimes?
Yeah, it's a great question. In that situation, they're primarily using solar power, so they spend long periods of time charging batteries and then shorter periods of time executing missions. And that actually works beautifully for missions where you have long periods of time and you're doing exploration. But if you have to get things done more quickly and you need to operate more continuously and use more power, then you really need sort of more energy and to worry more about efficiency in real time.
So we're talking about robots that are not fixed in place and plugged in, like kind of robots that make cars, for example.
That's exactly right. If you have access to the grid at all times, this really isn't so much of an issue. And that's a big part of why maybe this issue hasn't been as worked as much as it is now. Because now there's an increasing desire to get robots into the real world, into more difficult situations. In particular, one of the things we're looking at is emergency response situations where there may be no infrastructure at all. And if there is, you don't have the luxury of connecting to it while actually doing the work you need to do.
So the only thing worse then than a dead cell phone or radio is a dead robot.
That's right. A dead robot becomes a big pile of usually metal that you just have to haul around.
And how does this all fit in with Sandia's mission?
Well, Sandia is a broad national security laboratory that works on a lot of things. So we're a Department of Energy lab, so energy is certainly a big deal. But our robotics group here is focused on facilitating all sorts of sort of high-consequence missions, in many cases for national security, but almost always for government applications. So this is just another example of trying to make technology come out of the research labs and make it more useful for government agencies.
All right, so you're looking at robots. These are self-propelled types of things that are not fixed to the ground in general, is what you're envisioning for needing this kind of new approach to power?
Absolutely. These are robots that are getting out, dealing with terrain. You know, in many cases, the intent is to keep people out of harm's way. So first responders, for example. So we want to be able to turn these robots loose and have them go some distance away from people without access to power or other resources.
Now, the military has developed robotic animals that look surprisingly realistic, but those are gasoline-powered, and that's probably not a great alternative for a lot of situations.
In many cases, it can make sense. Of course, it's nice to have the ability to use hydrocarbon fuels, which have very high energy density. Generally, though, engines are loud. They produce noxious gases. It's not always the best thing. So if you want to be quieter, if you want to be cleaner, then an electric battery is a great source, but it doesn't have as much energy. So again, there we have to worry more about how we use that energy more carefully than we might if we had access to a gasoline or diesel engine.
So your research is focusing on making robotics more efficient rather than developing the next revolution in batteries?
That's exactly right. There's no doubt that the battery issue needs to continue to be worked, and there's a lot being devoted to that. But we found that there's a lot of space for improvement just by improving the energy efficiency of the drivetrains, basically the motors and transmissions that are used for these robots, to use that energy, you know, an order of magnitude or more efficiently and get a lot more life out of a single charge.
All right, so let's imagine, you know, something that walks. I don't know. Or say let's make it more realistic. Something that's tracked, and you want to send it into, say, an emergency situation where there's smoke, and rescue people. We had this happen in Washington just recently in a subway tunnel, and suppose you had at the end of it something that could pry open doors, a jaws of life type of operation. What kind of technologies do you envision that could be applied to a vehicle or a robotic device like that? That could make it more efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a number of different things you can do. You know, one of the big things we're actually focusing in this current program on legged robots, but the principles apply to a number of different things. So one of the things we're looking at is sort of electric motors are old technology and they're used all over the place. But if you look at the sort of operating conditions and the load conditions that are required to execute specific behaviors like those you described, then you can often come up with ways to make those motors operate in the conditions where they're most energy efficient. And that's a big part of our approach. So choosing using appropriate or maybe variable gear ratios, adding passive dynamic elements like springs in certain cases to unload the motors in ways to keep them out of the conditions where they burn most of their energy. In many of these applications, the motors are going to burn most of their energy over just a small fraction of the operations. And if you can unload those conditions, it could be a lot better. So you could help the tracked mobility. You could also help, you mentioned prying open doors, some sort of manipulation. You could also support actuators that are doing that in order to make that more energy efficient. So really the idea is to sort of scrutinize all phases of a mission and come up with more efficient ways to do each activity.
We're speaking with Steve Berger. He's the project lead for intelligent systems control at Sandia National Laboratories. And I was thinking maybe the automotive or aviation industries offer a model because they have so many moving parts and so many, you know, remotely actuated pieces attached to them. But that's not really a good model, the more I think about it, because they still have ultimately at some point continuously fuel burning source of energy at the heart of them so that they can keep things charged and ready to go.
That's right. That helps a lot. Now, there's no doubt that in particular, the aircraft industry is very concerned with energy efficiency because basically fuel is weight and they want to get weight down. And one of the big differences is that in many cases on a vehicle, the actuators that are moving pieces around really aren't moving large loads. So they just need to move a little bit. Whereas in this case, we're really talking about sort of rich physical interaction with the environment. So ultimately doing things a person does, like picking up large boxes, walking up stairs. And this really requires a significant exchange of both forces and energy with the environment, and it's much more taxing to actuators. So it ends up being more worthwhile in our application space, I believe, to look at this energy efficiency of drivetrain aspect than maybe it has been for some of those folks working in those industries.
And I imagine removing weight from the structure itself, so maybe some of the high-performance types of metals that are coming out too, that might be promising.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, we're looking at advanced materials here. One of the things we've had a great deal of success with is actually replacing steel cables in a drivetrain with some synthetic ropes that are made from polymers that actually have much better strength to weight ratios than steel. So they tend to come with a fair number of headaches. They fail in unusual ways that we're not used to as engineers, but once we work through those practical issues, they offer a powerful way to improve efficiency, reduce weight, and also make the system very quiet, unlike moving steel parts.
And I guess most people don't realize this, but steel is way more elastic than a lot of those materials.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, steel has elasticity. It has failure mechanisms that have to be dealt with all the time. I think for engineers, it's more comfortable because we've all worked with steel for a long time. So the new materials pose new challenges, but in many cases, they're better. It's smart to look at the entire sort of material space and application space and come up with some of the best technologies to fit the specific problem at hand. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Now, a lot of products over the years have done motor development where there's a specific need, and there's been AC motors and DC motors and stepping motors and all these different types of motors for different applications. Is there anything on the motor front that's new and promising?
We've actually looked at that a little bit. We're, in the end, using sort of standard DC brushless motors, but we're buying them frameless, which means they don't come housed, and so we build our own housings and customize that to our application. We also look at ways to actively cool the motors, and so what can happen there is as a motor runs current through the copper heats up, it increases resistance, and you actually lose more energy. So we found by even blowing, say, a small computer fan running at just a watt or two over the outside of a motor, we can actually cool the coils enough to save maybe tens of watts of energy. So we sort of come up with a net energy win by spending energy. So we're looking at the core motor piece, but looking at ways it can be integrated differently to operate more efficiently.
And how does all this research end up getting out into the marketplace for robotic things?
Well, like any of the technology we work on, our end goal is really to get the robots and get the core technology out in the real world so they can do some good. So there are a number of paths to do that. We're actually putting some pieces of the system, including electronic designs and firmware and software, out into open source so people are able to use them. Also, we are always eager to work with transition partners and put either our robots, our systems, or components to work facilitating products, either produced for the government or produced by commercial entities and used by the government. So there are a number of ways. We're always eager to try to get our technology out into the real world.
And there's a picture online of you from Sandia at their website, and there's a standing type of, I guess it's not quite Robbie the robot, but it's something that looks like it's standing and climbing. Where did that come from? Are you getting commercial platforms to which you can apply this research?
In this case, actually, we're designing that platform and building it from the ground up. So this is a project funded by DARPA and the Department of Defense, and it's sort of a two-pronged project. On one hand, we're doing research and development on the core drivetrain, and on the other hand, we're building robots to put that into practice and demonstrating efficiency in platforms. So that's a legged platform designed to be a human scale and human-like form factor, designed and built from the ground up here at Sandia with efficient actuators integrated with the intent of showing long-term efficient operations.
And do you have a name for this device?
We have two robots in development. The first one we call Stepper, and the second is Wanderer. They're both acronyms that are a bit of a mouthful, but Wanderer is an evolution of Stepper that's designed to be lighter, more powerful, and hopefully significantly more energy efficient.